Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 210, part 1, The Poor. Today is Friday, September 2nd, 2011. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's club is located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if your household needs food, you live anywhere in Minnesota, you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior, 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, you can come to Pastor Paul's and register your household for monthly groceries. You would come between 9:30 and 10:30, Monday through Friday, bring a picture ID, a current piece of mail, and verification of the household members, either medical cards or social security cards. It's that simple. Pastor Paul's club distributes a lot of groceries, so be sure to bring help carrying the food, or if you're on the bus, bring a grocery cart or a huge bag, because there is a lot of food. A lot of times, Pastor Paul gives away cases of perishable food as well, such as fruits and vegetables, and 20-pound bags of onions. We deal with a lot of perishable foods, fresh foods, as well as frozen, not so much in the canned goods. So be sure to be prepared to carry, bring extra bags. Okay, if you have any questions, you want more information about Pastor Paul's club, you can visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org. Be sure to go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find a link to Pastor Paul's podcast. So be sure to go there to check out the show notes as well. And then there are the scripture links in the show notes too. And subscribe to Pastor Paul's podcast. Now for the month of September, these are the messages: the poor, self-righteous, crossing over, commitment, and separated. So be sure to listen to Pastor Paul's podcast every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two. That's all I have for you. Have a great month of September. God bless you.
Today we're going to minister on the poor. But before we enter into Matthew 11 and 5, the poor have the gospel preached to them. Let's again look back into what David has to say in Psalm 10, in verse 1 then. Why standeth thou afar off? And he's talking to God. Why hidest thou self in times of trouble? I mean, God, where are you? I'm in a mess here. And doesn't it seem at times God doesn't hear our troubled cries? See, it's not the trouble, but it's the hiding of the Father's face during this trouble that cuts us to the quick. But anyway, here is the answer. You as a parent, should you comfort the child while you're correcting him? Should you spank with one hand and pat with the other? What would be the use of your chastening? A whole lot of talk and no action. See, I believe a smiling face and a rod are not fit companions. No, God wants us to feel our afflictions for His good purpose. Now, you may say, well, I don't go with that. Hey. So goes life. God has arranged. I know there are people that think this is very contrary to the Bible, but I have many scriptures to back it up. And a lot of proof in my own life. Say amen out there. Because I know that a felt affliction and a felt trouble, listen to it, is a blessed affliction, a blessed one. Well, now you spank your child and he has done all manner of wrong. And after he gets his spanking, or she gets her spanking, they come with open arms. Why, they are blessed because they were corrected. It is a type of love. Now, God plays pretty tough love. And now we're into the end times, so you're going to see a lot of strange things happening. As the Bible well says, you're going to see it happen in your own homes. How many are hearing this today? A felt affliction is a blessed one. Well, if we were carried over every stream by the Lord, where would the trial be? Where would be the experience? Oh, hey. Having all, done all, the Bible says, stand. I'm standing, and I have to stand on the rock. I don't want to be standing on sand in sort of an hourglass, a time limit to my patience, and drop in, be buried. But where would be the experience, I said, which trouble is meant to teach us? Now, we got trouble right down here in River City. And if we had no trouble, where would the experience be? Now, there's a very hostile man that comes into the church here. Okay. And he has come this far with the gospel message. Pastor Paul, for a white man, you're okay. And I thought, God, that is so great. This guy was going to shoot me at one time. I'm gaining ground. And I'm not entering that in for any special reason. It doesn't have any special connotations. You listening on a radio, don't take that and blow it all out of proportion. I merely mention that that to me is a victory. Hallelujah. Because let's face it, a lot of white people are stinkers, and a lot of black ones are stinkers. They're people. I'm blessed. I'm blessed through all that trouble. Finally, I'm okay. With some reserves. No, I suppose I could have got smart and said something back. But I thought, oh God, I've learned. I've learned that these things are a blessing. And that this dear man was finally coming out and his heart was full of this wrath, and now it's full of, you're okay, but still, and anyway, I receive you. And I thought, oh, what a blessing that this man, sort of a leader type, would even go that far. Whew. Oh, what an experience this has been down here. Verse 2 then, before we get into the meat of the message, the poor hath the gospel preached to them out of Matthew 11:5, and we're in the Psalms now, Psalm 10, verse 2. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. And that's where we're at right now. Let them be taken in their own devices that they have imagined. Now, before that they do any kind of evil, they have to imagine it in their mind first. And that which they have imagined in their mind drops into their heart, and what drops into their heart shows up on their face, and look out. Sometimes you'll see people smiling behind their face. How many hearing this? Are you all hearing it? I got a few sleepers in here. Now I know it's nice to sleep when the rain on the roof. I hear the pitter patter. But my God, I haven't got a lot of folks here. I can't afford any sleepers. Now let's get with it. Oh, yeah. Okay, now listen to it. Oh, hallelujah. The wicked, you're waking up. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken, yes, in the devices that they have imagined. Now, here's a couple of characters. Pride and tyranny. What a gruesome twosome. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. Now, if you're listening on the radio, in any way, shape, or form, listen to me, have caused the poor to suffer by you bad-mouthing, you will be taken in your own imagined devices. Even if you say, thus saith the Lord, and a lot of people say that, and it is not from God. Say amen, somebody. They're prophesiers of doom. Oh, it will come fast enough for you. You hearing this? Now I'm talking to radio audiences. All over. If you mess with a poor, now I want to talk plain so folks will understand what I'm talking about. So you may hear me using incorrect English once in a while to get my point across, because then I get a hold of all the English teachers and all the pronouncers of words. Huh? Let's face it, a lot of people talk in vowels. So we got to get into that. We got to be the Rondo preacher. Right? You guys on the radio? Verse 3, for the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire. Now he's going to go a step further, and he's going to boast about what's in his heart. Pride exposes such. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire. Oh, now here we have Mr. Hate Good and Mr. Big Head, and they are joined together at the neck in sort of a partnership. And now listen, they go even a little bit further. And oh, wow, it's happening all over. And blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. They bless the covetous, those that go after the big bucks. They bless them, whom the Lord hates, abhorreth. Now, isn't this insolence in its highest form? Now that's, I believe, pride unmasked. Always pride has to show itself. Here, pride meets covetousness, the grinder of the poor. And let's call him the sharp dealer. And I think there's a lot of people right now listening to the sound of my voice, oh yes, who flatter the rich even though they know that they have fattened themselves on the flesh and blood of the poor. How did they get that way? They fattened themselves on the poor. And this person, flatters such a person. Now, if a person is a whore, if a person is a fornicator, if a person is a drunk, we kick them out of the church. Don't we? But how about the covetous? How about those claiming more freaks? Those that prophesy on TV. If God is speaking to you, and then they'll go ahead and they'll prophesy this great message and look right into the camera, and there's billions and millions and zillions of people out there. If God is speaking to you to send in, after their big prophecy, $1,000, do it. And God will bless you, the windows of heaven and the doors and the cellar doors and the roof will come off of heaven and the bottom will fall out and all this money will fall on top of you. I don't need that. And I thought, oh my God, how sickening. And then he went on and they go on. But if God isn't speaking to you, don't do it. Now, how many know everybody wants God to speak to them to send in $1,000 so they can get $1 million back? Now, hey, being and coming out of the super con. Now, you're talking to Mr. Con here, and I came out of it, all right? I can tell you that this is a fast sell con artist, ping pong ball at the carnival, bingo, whatever, freak that's on TV, you're going to get more. If you get more cards and more corn, you get more money, okay? Oh, come on now. And the Bible says, the Lord abhorreth such, hates them. Okay, now I know I'm going to get some cards and letters off of this one. But it's the truth. Sham artists. I think we ought to tremble lest we be found partakers of this very atrocious sin of pride. Listen. Blessing the covetous whom Jehovah abhorreth. Oh, I was so blessed. I believed for a brand new Cadillac, and I believed if I sold enough Amway and Doc Shackles and all of this, that I'd be like that other person on there, and I would have a new Rolls Royce in this garage and a brand new Buick in here and a little sports car over here, and I am so blessed. How many hearing this? Blessing the covetous whom Jehovah hateth, abhorreth. Do you think there's a lot of covetous people out there? And a lot of them are Christians? Well, they are. Say amen. Are you against people having money? No. I think they ought to give some of it up once in a while. Without everybody knowing about it, about making a, let's make a deal, God. I'll give you $50,000 if you give me $100,000. Well, who wouldn't? Then they get it and they say, well, I meant after my bills is paid. Then we'll make a split. So see, the very proud boastings and the lewd blessings of the wicked have been received in evidence against him, and now his own face betrays what he says on the basis of what his face looks like, and listen, it confirms the accusation. His empty closet cries aloud against him. Now listen to it. The wicked, through pride of his own countenance, will not seek after God. pride shows up on his face. Now, when you see somebody who's tired, you see it on their face, don't you? I mean, the whole face hangs out. Not just the body, the whole face. It sort of does a Bob Hope ski thing, you know what I mean? And when a person is covetous, and a person is always claiming things, you ever seen some of these people that they go to these garage sales? Huh? They get out of their car, they put in their rip the seat of their pants off, getting out to get over, shut their foot in the door, yell at the kids to get over there and buy this junk someone wants to get rid of. Huh? Oh, look, here's a buy. Look at this. All these socks for a dollar? And there's no heels in them. But you ever notice the covetous, how they always give themselves away and they bump and they wrestle in between each other? Oh, come here, honey, and they pretend like you're not even there. Look at this! And they gather all this junk together. And oh, does the sham artists on TV and all of these prophesying nuts, they get on there to say, hey, God is calling you, now you know. And they sit there looking up through their eyebrows and tap their finger on the, and if you could see the setting, this is about, you know, TV is, you really aren't seeing the whole thing, it's in a garage. Here's a Davenport and a chair and a desk and a bunch of books back there, see? Come on. Hey, is that too heavy for you listening on the radio? Well, then turn it off. Now I know you won't. But the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. You can see it on their face. Proud hearts, I believe, breed looks and proud looks and stiff knees. You ever seen someone that's proud? They're always stiff and tall and erect. Captain of the guard type thing, you know. People in charge, stiff-necked. Legs straight. Oh, I thought, you know what? This is a very great arrangement that God has. That our hearts show up on our face. You might as well be honest. Your face will always show. It'll always show. It shows up in your face or the way you walk. Proud. Huh? Hi. Huh? Now, I'm not saying you have to have bad posture, but... No, it's like the face of a clock. You always know where they're at. Don't you know where a clock is at? You just got to look at it. Cuckoo. Are you awake? How many are awake in here? Put your hands up. We'll see who's sleeping. Well, there's one guy slid down on the floor. See, a brazen face and a broken heart never go together. You ever seen someone that says, oh, I feel so bad about what happened? Oh, God, help them, help them. And they're halfway smiling. And if someone else would look at them and smile at them, they'd laugh. I'm going to get truthful here. But you know what? The truth will set you free. Maybe you don't want to get free. Well, you're going to get free anyway. Lock all doors and windows. Close it up, put guards at the door. No one is getting out until this four-hour message is over. Boy, now the countenance has changed. Four-hour message, my God. you can learn a whole lot from a man's countenance. Because I believe honesty shines in his face, but villainy sort of peeps through the eyes. Now, I don't want you to get self-conscious. But you don't have to be self-conscious. If you've got Jesus in your heart and the workings of Jesus is down in your heart, and you can admit you're a sinner saved by grace and you ain't perfect, well, then you've got an excuse for your face looking like that. See, I believe the effects of pride that keep a man from seeking God. They don't want to hunger and thirst after righteousness, which means Jesus Christ. They don't want to hunger and thirst after, because it brings a certain amount of pain to be hungry and thirsty. But that's the only thing that will keep you going for it. Now, why do you go to work? Because you like to eat. Don't you? How many of you like to eat? Man, wish this man would get done. I'm hungry already. You ever, during the war, they had, when people were prisoners of war, they had forced marches. I think that's what we're coming to in the Onward Christian Soldiers, marching. You have to have forced marches. All right, get in line over there. Anybody gets out of line, we're going to shoot you. Verse 8. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages, in the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. He is against the poor. He hates the poor. He ministers to the rich. Verse 9. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in the wake to catch the poor. I mean, there's more poor people than there are rich people, and the rich people get rich off of the poor people because there's a lot of them. Now, I even know that from being in business with my dad. I was about 9 years old, and I grew an inch, and he said, go on out, you're going to make hot dogs in a front window, and we had a great big thing out there. And this was 46 or 47. And I had this nickel-plated grill out there in front of this window, and I had all these wieners lined up on there, you know. And then we'd take them off the grill, and we'd put them in the steam table. They were called Coney Islands. Now, not the Coney Island like they have now with a lot of relish and junk on. I'm talking Coney, you know what I mean? The regular Coney, weenie, and the bun, so on like that. I'm talking Greek talk now, but I'm talking regular Coney, okay? And so I had this great big arm on here, and I'd put all the buns on there that were steamed and all the wieners on there and all the mustard on there and then the homemade chili on there and then the onions, and I'd wrap them up. And I know that we didn't charge it. They were 10 cents a piece. Unbelievable. Well, we only paid a penny for them, so I mean, okay. And it didn't cost a lot of money to live. But my point here is that we made a lot of money because we sold a lot of them. And if you can sell a lot of poor people on buying your product, then you get rich. Most time, they'll sell you junk. How many are hearing this? All the rich get rich and the poor get poor. And the rich get rich and the poor get poor. Why? Because the rich are getting rich off of volume sales to the poor. But it shows up on their faces. He sitteth in the lurking places of the village, in the secret place, doth he murder the innocent. Yes, his eyes are privily set against the poor, verse 8. And verse 9 says, he lieth in the secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in the wake to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his what? Into his net. But now look at this another way. There is another net, praise God. The gospel net. The fishers of men net.
Well, the businessman says,
How much did you net on this thing? And Jesus asked a question. How many did you net? What was your bait? What was your program? How were you selling? Were you selling the gospel over TV by looking into the tube? If you're out there, God knows who you are. He's talking to you right now. Now it's 8 o'clock in the morning and everybody drinks coffee. You're drinking coffee right now. I know, I see that. Well, everybody in the United States drinks coffee at 8 o'clock. You're sitting there with no shoes on. Well, I'm safe. I got socks on. And you with socks on, too. Send your money in. God's speaking to you. And there he is in this garage, see? Now let's get on with it. The fishers of men net, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Oh, I thought the poor. What an age we live in. An age of suspicion. An age of fear and an age of the buck hustle. An age of shooting up the synagogues, and next it's going to be the churches. What, you don't think there's nuts out there? We claim that shooting up, and four or five groups claim shooting down this Jewish congregation and eight or nine rabbis. And it started out just that way with a hijacking. It started out against the Jews. And it spread to the other people. And it's the same way when they start with the Jew, they're going to end up going all the way with whatever. Christianity is going to suffer in the end. But they could go into some churches and say, all you people that love Jesus, stand up. Standing there with machine guns. Everybody would fall on the floor because they had not had the gospel preached to them yet. But I thought to myself, also, we have an age here, listen to it now, an age of opportunities to preach the gospel message. Well, where you say, where do we start with this thing? And where do we start? Now is the appointed time. Now is the time to preach the gospel, right now. And start by preaching to the poor. You listening on the radio? Maybe you don't know any poor people. Well, then you're like that Laodicean spirit that says, we are rich and increased in goods and have needs of nothing. And Jesus says, you are miserable, wretched, and poor. You are really poor. Matthew 11 and 5, then the poor have the gospel preached to them. I was reading about John who ministered before Jesus Christ. And he had some followers who continued with him after Jesus had come in the flesh and openly manifested himself. The disciples still had doubts as to whether Jesus was the Messiah. Now, I believe John knew, even though he said, go and ask him yourselves. Now, I believe he did that to quiet their doubts. Go ask. Ask him, tell us whether thou art he that should come, or do we look for another? Should we be looking for someone else? And so then Jesus continued his preaching for a while and said, stay and receive your answer. Stick around a while. Watch and see. Decide for yourselves. Instead of saying, of course I am, what a thing to ask. What nerve. No, he allowed them to see and hear his ministry, and then he said. Jesus did say another thing I should point out here. These things that you see me do, you will do, and even greater things you will do. But going on. And then he said, okay now, go show John again those things which he do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. These were the proofs. As much as saying, this is your answer. These are my testimonies, that I am come from God, that I am the Messiah. And if we have these same fruits, people will know us by our fruits. Now, go tell them all you have seen and heard. Now, you'll see the force of this truth if you'll read Isaiah 35, 5 and 6, and it says, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as the hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. Whew. See, the Jews have forgotten this completely. They were looking for a sort of a temporary grandeur. Don't we look for temporary grandeurs? We get sort of down, oh man, how about a little grandeur? I need something to lift me up. I need some grandeur in my life. How many are hearing this? You want grandeur? Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Hunger and thirst after Jesus Christ, and you will be filled. But anyway, they overlooked the teachings of Isaiah, that he should be a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. They overlooked that. Why? Why do we overlook certain scriptures? We don't want to hear them. We don't want to hear about sorrow and grief and pain. But also they overlooked the miracles. Not only did Jesus do all the miracles, but he also gave them further proof, because here it is, the poor have the gospel preached to them. Isaiah said, he shall preach the gospel unto the meek, that is, the poor. Also, Zechariah mentions it in the book. He talks about the poor. Of course, we don't need this proof to us. We're already saved. But are you hearing this message? But it is a proof, a mark, the gospel in all ages and in every land, that the poor have the gospel preached. Now answer me this question. One tape that got into someone's pocket, went over to Tanzania, to the African Theological School of Seminary, Lutheran School of Seminary, was picked up, and 137 preachers come to know Jesus off for one tape, and that message went out, and it went out to Nigeria, Uganda, Zaire, and the messages now are on the radio over in Tanzania. And the people over there are very, very poor. But you see, the gospel will be received by the poor. Now, God says it, so naturally it's so, isn't it? Of course, there's a lot of people that are probably singing, say it isn't so, say it isn't so. The rich are all around us. Oh, I think money has found us. Say it isn't so, huh? Hey, if you can believe the gospel right now, you are in for a blessing. Do you think money will bring you a blessing? Well, by itself, no. I had money. Yeah, and I used to sing that too. I got money, I got money, I got money. Who could ask for anything more? God, I want to get out of this world. song? Have you sang that? I got money, I got money. No, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And where this isn't going on, we've strayed. I mean, the departure from this is a departure from the gospel. The poor have the gospel preached to them. So I think there's three things we got to look at today. Three versions of this scripture. The poor have the gospel preached to them. And then the poor are evangelized. That is to say, not only do they hear it, but they receive it. If you're down there on the bread run, and you see me kind of walking down the line, and I start to talk to somebody, and they receive the gospel, you'll be able to tell on their face that they received the gospel. They got a peace and they got a countenance on their face. They have been set free. And this is the power of God. You don't try to figure out the mystery of the gospel. You mean if you just tell someone to confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, they're saved? That's too simple. I mean, we ought to school them into this thing. We ought to sort of sneak up on them. Sneak up on them sort of slow and easy and give them our doctrine so that they don't fall away. No, Jesus will keep them. Bible says you are kept by the power of God. Do you believe the Holy Spirit can do it? Do you believe that if God says, I knew you before the foundation of the world was even founded, and there is such a thing as an election, and don't try to figure that one out. There is such a thing that being justified. What does that mean? That means you're justified. And whom he justified, he'll also glorify. Well, some people don't like that. Glorify that? No way. Not after all I put into this work and ministry. Most of them people ought to go to hell. No, if they see Jesus, they won't go. Wish all you want to. I said it a couple times. I'll say it again. I think it bears repeating. When people get up to heaven, let's say you went on an elevator and you got up to heaven, you look, open the doors open, and you look outside and you say, what are they doing up here? Woo! You're like that wolf in the Roadrunner. Plip. You listen on the radio, you don't like that kind of preaching? You're just looking for fault anyway. My God, you understand it. That's why you don't like it. Easy to understand. But also then, the poor have taken to the preaching of the gospel. They've taken to it. So then first, the poor have the gospel preached to them. I think it was true in the day of Jesus Christ, and it will be that way until the end comes. And almost every imposter who has come into the world has aimed principally at the rich. Every imposter that has ever come to preach in any manner, shape, or form, and I said imposter because that's what it is. It's a foreign matter that got into the thing. They aim their ministries principally at the rich and the mighty and the respectable, so to speak. And very few imposters have found it worth their while to preach to the poor. Mostly they went before princes. Mostly they sought after nobles. But that wasn't Jesus' calling, was it? His calling was to preach to the poor. How delightful. That Lord of Lords and King of Kings and maker of all the universe and everything that was in it and is in it and will be in it was made through Christ the Word. God spoke the Word. Well, Jesus was the Word. That he would stoop, God now, stoop so low as to touch your hand. A lot of times people get the idea. I reached up. And I got on the ladder, and I crawled up there, and then I got on top of the IDS, and it wasn't high enough. No. So I went to New York. Yes, I did. Went to the Chrysler Building, got on top, and crawled up there. Yes, I did. And I touched the hand of God. No, He first loved you. He first sought you. He came here. He says, I love you so much that if you were the only person that ever existed, I would come for you. Whew. How delightful. He started in the basement. The bargain basement, let's call it. How many know all the poor people are down in the bargain basement at Dayton's or Donaldson's? Mostly because they want to get rid of all their junk. Or any store, not Donaldson's, Dayton's. We've got to put them all in there. Penny's, Woolworth's, Macy's. Can you think of any other ones? All of them. But he started at the very bottom. Now, if you're going to burn a building, you start in the basement, and so did the Savior. I was thinking about that today. I was coming to church here. I says, well, when I was, you know, went out into the woods, and I was allowed to just go out with the Boy Scouts once, and then I had to get back to making them hot dogs, so I couldn't join. I also was in the Friendly Indians. That was a YMCA group for 2 weeks. But the hot dogs were waiting, so I had to quit that too. One thing I know, and that's how to make hot dogs, and one thing I know that Jesus loves me, even though I only made hot dogs and didn't belong to the Boy Scouts and all that, but that's okay. But I learned this, that you go out and gather all the little twigs. So I went out and I gathered all the little twigs. And you guys go out and get branches, and you guys go out and get logs, and you guys go out and get trees. Well, I weighed about 67 and a half pounds soaking wet. And he said, you go on out and you get the twigs. Oh man, I don't want to go after twigs. I want to go after branches and logs and trees. See? Isn't that a lot of preaching? I want to go after them big guys. No, but then I thought, all right, I'll go get the twigs. So I picked up all the twigs and I thought, I'll show them, I'll twig them out of here. Twig, and I'll give you twigs, and I got a pile of twigs there. I got so many twigs, I can't carry them all. So I looked around, and I found something like I got some other sticks together, don't you know, and got them kind of together and some vines together, and then I carried these twigs in. You want a twigs? My attitude was wrong. I admit it. Here's your twigs. But then I saw what the twigs twid. They'll pick that one up too. Twill. So I got down. He says, all right, lay all the twigs down there and leave a little air for them. I'm watching. Then he lit these twigs. That lit the branches, that lit the logs, that lit the tree that this kid Pertner killed himself dragging in. Thank you, Lord. You're getting the point. Anyway, the twigs got the big guys going. And so God said, if we get the twigs going, and we get the little people going, and they're happy, and they're rejoicing, and they're not into a prosperity thing, and they're still happy, and all these big fat cats, these big branches, and these big logs and everything are looking on, maybe they'll jump on the fire. And that spark is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He starts with the lowly, to preach to the poor. How delightful. Later on, the rich also will receive the power and the fire of the Holy Spirit. And He chose this to be given to His disciples and to be a mark of his gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ.
That was part one, episode 210, The Poor. Be sure to listen to part two on Sunday, September 4th, coming up. Have a great Labor Day weekend.
El gato amor, el gato amor, el gato amor, ya, el gato amor. Oh, when the Lord.